Welcome to The Primal Pioneer, a no-nonsense podcast teaching you how to become more informed and empowered with regard to your health so you can support your health with the least amount of medical intervention possible. I'm your host, Heather Shepherd, classical homeopath, author of The Sunlight Rx, and ancestral foods chef. For the past 12 years, I've been helping people overcome acute and chronic health disorders and brain injuries using a 100% natural approach. Enjoy this episode and subscribe to this podcast to stay informed about your health, your food choices, and the healing power of sunlight. Hey everyone, welcome back. So this week, I want to have a little Q&A around the Sunlight Rx. And I'm going to also talk a little bit about how to choose a circadian supportive home. And I'm going to deep dive into that one because it's a big topic. And there's a lot to consider with regard to home, including a circadian lifestyle and other elements and aspects of as well. But today I thought I would spend some time talking about some of the most frequently asked questions that I get asked regarding sunlight and the Sunlight Rx. And at least the most frequently asked questions I've been asked lately. I know some of you are waiting patiently for a response to those questions. So I hope this podcast, this episode helps to address those areas. And of course, if you ever have questions about your health, a certain condition, the Sunlight Rx, feel free to send me a DM on Instagram, or you can send me an email at sunlight_rx@proton.me. And I will gladly answer those questions on the podcast. I have a list of topics that you all have sent me, and I like to chip away at those over time. So if you ever have podcast requests, absolutely don't hesitate to reach out, because I'll add those to the list. And I like to pull at least one or two episodes a month from that list. So today I'm going to deep dive into the Sunlight Rx, or at least answer some of your FAQs about the practice. And I'm going to be talking about home and environment and choosing home and so forth when it comes to your health, your circadian health, and just overall well-being. I know when you start learning the circadian practices, it's true for anything. When we start learning any one thing, we really hone in on it and focus on it so we can really learn all of as much as we can about that thing that we're interested in. And sometimes we can, that process is necessary. And I want to make sure that we include the circadian practices and those aspects of around home and a healthy lifestyle. But I don't want us to get tunnel vision around that's the only thing that matters when it comes to choosing home, because there are a lot of components and factors and moving parts and people and relationships to consider, and children, when you're, you know, considering where to live or how to make my space a healthier space and so forth. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. I did an episode quite pretty recently with my wife, Jen Antil, who is a therapist. And I say that in a very holistic way. She's a very holistic trained therapist, you know, and so she's not going to diagnose you or put you in a box or this sort of thing, or give or write a prescription for a pharmaceutical. Right. That's not her, how she goes about it. But we did an episode on how to stay married and live a quantum lifestyle. And if you haven't listened to that episode yet, I highly encourage that you do, because often we can get lost in, hey, these are the circadian practices, and this is what you do now, husband or wife or partner, and this is how it is. And we get really like dogmatic about it, and the other people in our world who like have no idea about this, or you know, you're just like, vomiting all this stuff on them. And not that it's bad information, it's amazing, but they have no idea what you're talking about, where you're coming from. You know, this is really outside of the box from the mainstream. And so, in order to maintain our connections, which life is all about being connected, where nobody is here to live a solo lifestyle. Nobody is here to live a solo lifestyle. We're here to be connected and related. And so we need to keep in mind that when we're, I guess I'm diving into this one already, this topic of home and so forth, but when we need to keep this in mind that when we're making choices about home and health and circadian practices, we have to find a way to have these conversations with our partners, our spouses, our children that allow us to stay connected to them and with them. And of course, there has to be a meeting place. They have to be open. We have to have a conversation in a way that they can hear. We can't just be like, this is what you're doing, honey, and that's it. And you don't let, you know, it's like there's, you know, we have to go about this in a little bit of a different way. And the individual who kind of spearheaded this move, this mitochondrial movement, I will say is absolutely horrendous at relationships and is very dogmatic and hard on people. It's like, you got to move to the tropics or else you're gonna die. That's fucking bullshit. It's not, that is, people have been living in all different types of environments forever and they don't die as a result of that. Now, of course, our environment has changed a lot over the years, but there are ways to heal no matter where you live. So I really want to make that clear. Are there some choices, living choices, that will set yourself up for more optimal healing? Of course. You know, if you live in an apartment building with 200 other people or even 20 other people, and every single person has their own Wi-Fi, that's going to be harder on your system than if you lived by yourself and in a home that didn't have other people living in it with all the Wi-Fi signals, right? Of course, that's going to be more optimal for your health. But you don't have to move to the tropics in order to get that, you know? So it's really important, and I really want to emphasize this because the individual who spearheaded mitochondrial health is horrific at relationships, belittles people, belittles women, does not emphasize relationships, got a divorce because of his self-centeredness and inability to focus on his relationships. And we have to understand that staying related and connected is as big of a part of health and well-being as is getting rid of your Wi-Fi. Okay, so I just want to, I guess I'm starting the episode out in that way. Okay, but I'm going to segue into sunlight a little bit here, and we'll talk more about home and choosing home and the components of that towards the end of the episode here today. But I wanted to start with that because it's a topic that I'm a little fiery about, because we have this dude trying to like tell people, you're not going to be well unless you move to a different place. And it's like, whoa, what about my family? What about my job? What about you know, the expenses? If you have hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars, maybe you could do that easily, but most people aren't going to be able to do that. And we have to understand that. I can't tell you the amount of people I've worked with who have actually moved to the tropics, and they're like, yeah, but I don't know anyone here, and I feel isolated, and my family's back there. And then it creates this whole other hole, this leak, so to speak, with regard to their health. Okay, more on that in a little bit. But so I'm going to segue here. We're going into sunlight because I want the bulk of this episode to be about sunlight. It's spring in the northern hemisphere, and this, of course, means that the days are getting longer. Thank God to that. UVB light is returning, and for those living outside of the tropics, your sunlight RX practice should start to change pretty drastically now, okay? This is now, if you live in the southern hemisphere, your sunlight RX practice is also going to be changing drastically, just in the opposite way, right? You're going to be getting less sunlight exposure, unless you live more, I believe it is northerly in the summer. It's opposite of here. So the more northerly you live in the southern hemisphere, the more tropical it becomes. But anyway, your sunlight RX practice should be changing drastically at this time of year. This is your time in the northern hemisphere to start increasing sunlight exposure. And I'm going to teach you how to do so in a way that you can get the most therapeutic value from. Okay, that's going to be really important. Now, most of you are aware that several years ago, I wrote the Sunlight RX and I put that into ebook form for you all. The Sunlight RX is a four-step protocol that I use to heal my TBI and my migraine headaches and my poor sleep, among many other things after that I experienced after my TBI. Excuse me. And so eventually I put these steps together on how to use sunlight to heal my brain and TBI in a therapeutic context. Now, since then, it's been several years. I have taught the Sunlight RX to my family, to some of my friends, to my clients who have had equally impressive results with their health, even though they don't have the majority of them haven't had a TBI, but they have experienced really amazing shifts with their health, mental, emotional, physical health, just by learning how to get more sunlight in safe and therapeutic ways. Now, I'll spill the beans a little bit. I'm working on a hard copy of the Sunlight RX. It'll take a year or two to get it out as it's an involved process. But however, in the meantime, if you don't have a copy of the Sunlight RX, you can head over to my site, heathershepherd.com with an AR, HEATHAR, heathershepherd.com. And at the header of my site, you'll see a tab that reads Sunlight RX. You can click there and get your copy of the Sunlight RX to start cashing in on the therapeutic benefits of sunlight that I'm going to talk all about today. Literally, the Sunlight RX is for everyone. It's not just like, oh yeah, Tom needs it, but Michael's fine. No, it's not like that. Everybody needs sunlight. We all need sunlight. Our biology is optimized when we're in sunlight. Our hormones, our gut microbiome shifts depending on the type of light that's available. Our metabolic health and signaling relies on sunlight. Our sleep-wake cycles are dependent and ruled by sunlight. Our mitochondrial health, our vision, our skin all rely on sunlight to function optimally. Now, if you're new to sunlight as a therapeutic ally, if you're new to learning how sunlight is an essential nutrient that almost everyone today is deficient in, okay, if you're new to the fact that sunlight is actually health and life supportive and doesn't cause cancer and other skin conditions, right, that it's been blamed for, wrongly accused, then this episode, as well as the Sunlight RX, should really help to support your health and understanding around sunlight as an essential nutrient and as a therapeutic modality. So, I want to make it really clear that while the mainstream tells you about sunlight and cancer and they jam this down our throat and their advertising and their marketing is just like, oh, fear the sun, right? What your dermatologist tells you about sunlight and skin cancer, what the industry tells you about sunlight being a carcinogen, it's literally 100% lies. It's total BS. It's based on bad science. And what do I mean by this? Well, I kid you not, every single study done on UVB light and pointing it, correlating it to cancer, have been conducted under fake UVB light. It's not even, these studies are not even done under real sunlight. They're done under fake light indoors. So there have literally been zero studies done under sunlight and connecting it to cancer. There's been none. So you if you if what next time you go into your dermatologist, tell them that. I literally want to hear what they say. I will never go into a dermatologist ever, okay? But I don't I if you want to go into a dermatologist, like, that's totally your prerogative. I support that. Everybody has medical choice, medical freedom. Do whatever you want. I am all about do whatever you want. I am all about, like, getting rid of dogma, listening to what your body wants and needs. If you want to go to the dermatologist, absolutely go to the go. And if you have the gall to ask them or to tell them, say, you know, I get this, but I hear what you're saying, but did you know that there have been zero studies done under sunlight? They've all been done under fake UVB light pointing it to cancer. They'll probably, I'm so curious what they would say. Let me know how it goes. Okay. If you do that, literally send me a message and let me know how it goes. I'm so curious. Okay. Also, there haven't been any studies done on sunlight when practiced, as I outline in the Sunlight RX. And this is because when you get sunlight exposure in the amounts I recommend in the Sunlight RX and in the chronological order that I outline in this protocol, even if you have red hair and freckles and, you know, you're a type one, level one Fitzpatrick, meaning the palest of pal you could be, right? You will not burn in the sun. You will tan and you will reap the therapeutic benefits of sunlight. So they haven't done any studies in this way, either because they're too ignorant to understand that, you know, hey, this would be a good idea, or they know that if they did test in this way, they wouldn't find cancer. They would find cures all across the board for every single chronic disease today. And you know, ailment like migraine headaches, like insomnia, like depression, like low dopamine states. This is what they would find. And they'll never do it. They'll never do this experiment. And I don't care. I don't, people are always like, do you have a study on that? And at this point in my life and practice, you know, that's that question is, and I'm not, I'm that question, we, it's not going to be a helpful question. It's not a helpful question because studies are heavily funded to get a result, a particular result in almost every case. And the funding where these studies are fun, who they're funded by are the industry. And so everybody, or I didn't say everybody, but a lot of people like, show me the science, show me the science. Well, a lot of science today is absolute horseshit. So what I do is when somebody asks me a question like that, and this is what I invite you to do too, because for a long time, I was like, oh, let's look for a study on that. And even recently, I have somebody who helps me out with Instagram, and they posted a bunch of studies to my story, and we had a chat. I was like, dude, we can't do that. We can't post studies on my story because I don't believe in studies. And I think that was really well-intentioned what you did, but we can't do that because that's not me. That's not my voice. I really hate studies. They're you know, sometimes I'll reference them and I think it's honestly out of habit. And I know a lot of people like to hear it, but if we really want to see a study, human beings are the study. Look over time what human beings have done and where we were before Wi-Fi, where we were before we used sunscreen, where we were before we ate high fructose corn syrup, where we were before we we're told to eat soy and insects and genetically modified food and 3D printed chicken, you know? What did we look like before then? What was our health like before then? What was our physique like before then? You know? And so if we look over time, humans have been around for you know, how long? A long time. Okay? We're the study. We are the study. If you look back, you can apply this to almost anything. Okay? So our diet, oh, you know, we're trying to find the right diet. Well, what did our ancestors do and what did they look like, you know, over time with the different diets that they ate? Okay, great. So we can see that is very clear. There was always animal protein in the diet. There was always animal fat in the diet before we were told, you know, after World War II that there shouldn't be. Okay, so it's like we can apply this to sunlight also. How many people died of skin cancer in 1800? Crickets, because that's the answer. Zero. You know, it's like it's like we have to look back and we have to look at our lifestyles before indoor lighting was developed, you know, and our health before. See, all of these answers are already written in history. That's the study. That is the study for our health, for our diet, you know? And there's something very interesting that I find that around 1940, the percentage of farmers who said, "Hey, farming is my occupation," it's 40%. 40% of people living in the United States in 1940, check mark box, I'm a farmer. Okay, that's 40%. Today, what percentage of people are farming? 1%. 1% of this is in most of those farms are big ag farms. So less than 1% of that 1% today are people who are practicing regenerative farming. Okay. Now that's a whole other topic for another day, but what we can see here is that 40% of people were farming. And we go to 1% today. So you can't farm inside. Well, they can try. They're trying, you know, with you can try to farm inside. That's not farming. But this was an outdoor occupation. You have to be outside. You have to be in the elements. Our cow needs to be milked twice a day. It's raining. You know, too bad. We got, you know, the cow needs to be milked. It's like you there wasn't this like, oh well, you know, you had to be outside. And so that's a large percentage of the population who were outdoors in natural light in the elements to today, less than 1%. And where did we go? We went indoors. Our jobs are now indoors. And so what our dermatologists tell us, what the industry tells us, what our government tells us is that you go to the you get your ass to the dermatology office and you they let them look at your skin under microscope, let them examine it because you probably have skin cancer from too much sun exposure. Well, if we look at history, the real live accurate study, we can see that people's sunlight exposure has drastically decreased since 1940, and more and more so with as technology gets more quote unquote advanced. So what this means is that more people are spending more time in front of a screen, in front of a television, under fake light than they're spending outside. So how does it even make logical sense that we're having more skin cancer today? This is a whole topic, and it's one of the most FAQs that I get is that, well, Heather, you want me to do the Sunlight RX, but what about skin cancer? What about my face? What about So, for one, skin cancer rates have gone up because we're testing for it more. So they're like, hey, you know, that's the rates are going to go up because they're testing for it more. And they're testing for it more because they can make a boatload of money off of it, billion-dollar industry. And the majority of people, and I mentioned this on we had a QVC Q&A today, and I said, literally, you have a greater chance of being eaten by a shark than you do of dying from skin cancer, a skin cancer spot on your face. The amount of and so how can we even call it cancer? Because it doesn't metastasize. Cancer, by medical definition, has the ability to metastasize, spread to other parts of the body. And that's not good when that happens, right? The diagnosis, the cure is much harder to attain when that happens. So you may get a different spot on your face because they'll find a new spot. But we also have to understand whenever you cut something out of the body, whether it's a spot on your skin, whether on your face, whether it's a spot on your leg, whether it's a spot on your arm, on your back, wherever it is, whenever you cut something out, you increase the risk of having it come back and in double or maybe even triple. Cutting something out increases the risk of it coming back, returning, metastasizing. So you go to your dermatologist now, they say, oh, there's a spot, come back in a year. You go back in a year, now you have another one. And then the next year, you have two more. Keep cutting, you're going to get more spots. Now, the point I want to make here is that it is very, very rare. It's not unheard of, but it's very rare for skin cancer found on the skin to metastasize. Okay. And they'll scare you into it, or they'll say, oh, now wear your sunscreen and do this and that, and don't put your face in the skin. Face in the sun, sorry, excuse me. I'm a little dyslexic. And so I think you all know if you've been listening to my podcast, I fudge words all the time, but whatever, you know. So where I'm going with this is, for one, we're getting more skin cancer because they're testing for it. We're getting more skin cancer because they cut it out and you go back and then there's more. It's just like a colonoscopy. Oh, no polyps. Oh, but here you go. You have some polyps. You come back and oh, they've spread. Now you have a couple more. Same thing. The same thing's applicable for warts, for cysts, etc. Okay. Now, you might say, well, Heather, I've had some things cut out and they didn't come back. What also happens is when you cut something out of the body, and sometimes I know this is necessary, okay? So please don't take this as, you know, just truth across the board, right? You all know how I feel about that. But let's say you have something cut out of your body. Well, it doesn't come back. Often when we cut things off of the body, the pathology goes deeper into the body. It goes more internal. It goes into deeper layers of the body. You cut some warts off, or you put some suppressive on it, and then, you know, oh, then you're more constipated. Then you, why am I more depressed, you know, a few months later? You know, this is literally what happens when we cut things out of the body. And I know sometimes it's necessary, but often it's not. The other thing I want to mention is that, okay, since we're getting so much more blue light exposure to our face in particular, We're getting like 1,000,000% more exposure to from blue light from a screen onto our face than we are to sunlight. But for some reason, the industry is not like, hey, these skin spots are caused by artificial blue light that you're looking at. Because you're looking at artificial blue light for over 80% of your day. You're in sunlight for less than 1%. But it's the sun that's actually causing the cancer. So, see, it doesn't make sense. This is total illogical bullshit. And they try to feed it to us because they literally, this is a $1 billion industry. Okay? You go and you get something cut off, oh, you keep coming in, keep doing a procedure, keep getting it cut off, keep. So that is something I will say about skin cancer, because people often ask me about skin cancer and sunlight. You want to protect yourself? When I'm doing a podcast here, my screen is completely red. You want to protect yourself? Stop, put your screen devices in red. Okay? Get out in sunlight more. Mitigate your artificial light exposure at night. Don't look at a screen when it's dark, and especially not, in full blast mode. Get in full blue light mode. Put Iris on your computer. It's literally 14 effing dollars. Anybody can come up with $14 to put Iris on your computer, and I'm telling you, if you keep it in sleep mode, you put it in custom. I might should do a podcast on how to use Iris properly, to protect your health and your eyes and so forth. I'll probably do that really soon, but literally, it's a little investment for a huge payoff. Okay. You can use the Sunlight RX to prevent sunburn. How do you do that? Well, read the Sunlight RX, but I'm going to sum it up in very, just really succinct here for you. One, you got to get your ass out of bed and watch the sunrise, okay? So this is number one. You have to get up to watch the sunrise. Now, I don't want to be like a ball buster or dogmatic, sergeant about this. And but I will say that morning sunlight, and as close to you can get is watching the sun apex, or excuse me, go climb over the horizon. As close to you can get is watching the sun peek over the horizon, right from the beginning and sunrise. And the more skin you can get exposed to that sunrise, I know certain times of the year it's too cold to do so, but starting now in spring, it's starting to warm up. You know what? Sometimes I do when it's too cold. I have a zip up hoodie here, unzip here, expose here, and so my neck and everything else is staying warm. It's something really awesome to have on hand for your Sunlight RX practice, because you can expose your whole front side, abdomen, and just unzip, and while keeping your neck and back warm if it's too cold in the morning. That's something that I recommend and that I do. But the more skin you have exposed to this sunrise light, and I'm not talking 5 minutes, the Sunlight RX, okay, we're talking about at least 30 minutes. We're talking about a therapeutic context here. You get to afternoon light and you're not going to burn, okay? But you have to wake up for sunrise, which is, despite sunrise, our biology is programmed to wake up at that time when at sunrise, get out, start our day. Our hormones are tailored to that. Our metabolic health is hardwired to that. So, because when this happens, the sun's coming over the horizon, melatonin release is totally, completely paused. And here comes cortisol. It's gradually trickling out as the sun moves higher and higher towards its apex in the sky. And so your entire biology is hardwired programmed, optimized when you're up at sunrise and you're watching the sunrise and you're outside in that light. So this is also the number one way to prevent sunburn. Okay. So, and you need a good dose to prevent the sunburn. You need a good dose. You can't just be out there for 5 minutes and expect not to burn an afternoon light. I'm talking a minimum of 30 minutes. When I first started my Sunlight RX practice, I was outside for an hour at sunrise. And my health went from about a 2 to, I'm not kidding you, a 10 in a very short period of time, just by watching the sunrise. Now, I know that's my experience. I know other people may not have a 2 to a 10, but you may have a 2 to a 5, a 2 to a 6, a 2 to an 8. You're going to see an improvement. You're going to see an improvement in some way by getting a therapeutic dose of sunrise and, you know, having your eyes exposed to sunrise, having your skin exposed to the sunrise light. It's something I cannot recommend enough. And if you want to prevent sunburn, because sunburn, yeah, it can be skin damaging, sure. But people are like, oh, I got a sunburn once in 1993, so that has to be why I have this spot on my skin. No, it's not. You didn't know. Absolutely not. Did you get sunburned for every day of your life? Did you want, you know, a few sunburns? This is what I'm talking about studies. Like, there are even some studies that show a sunburn or 2 or 3 a year actually boosts the immune system and is beneficial to health. So, you know, we cannot say that people are like, yeah, that one summer I just spent too much time in the sun. Nope, that's definitely not why you have a spot on your face. I'm going to guarantee that right now. So that's a good myth to clear up. Okay, let's go to another question here. Is it normal to not make vitamin D for a few months out of the year? And I love this question. Reason being is that because your gut microbiome, your vitamin D levels, your hormones, your metabolic signaling should change throughout the year. It's not going to be this same old thing every day in and day out. And if you're expecting your vitamin D's to be 70 in January and you live in Toronto, nope, they actually shouldn't be. This is a part of your circadian biology, this flux. And circadian biology is connected to nature and the cycles of nature. So we shouldn't, you literally can't make vitamin D in most parts of the states in the winter months. And that's not a bad thing, right? There should be a cyclical nature to your vitamin D levels. There should be a cyclical nature to your gut microbiome and the type of bacteria that are in there, depending on the season. There should be a cyclical variation of what time you go to bed and what time you wake up. And that should be, you know, earlier in the winter, later in the summer. And then if you live really northerly, I mean, then you got this whole thing where it's literally light some areas for 20 hours, sometimes 24 hours a day. What do you do then? Well, you know, it's like we have to listen to these, we have to live in tune with these cycles. So when it's light for 24 hours or 20 hours a day during the summer where you live, you're likely going to get far less sleep, you know, during those times. And those places, that's when UVB is, you know, available, and it's available for a very short window other times of the year. but nature's providing you with this prolonged light source for a reason, okay? And it's not just by chance. It's not, you know, so we have to, living in sync with nature is going to really help all aspects of your health. But we also have to understand that some things are cyclical. We shouldn't, like, our gut microbiome, our stool test, our, you know, it shouldn't be the same all year round. Our lab work shouldn't be the same all year round. Our vitamin D levels shouldn't be the same all year round. Our hormones are going to fluctuate depending on the time of year. Our metabolic signaling is going to fluctuate a little here and there throughout the time, depending on the time of year. Our energy levels, our energy production is going to fluctuate a little bit depending on the time of year, how long are the days, how short are the days. And so we have to take this cyclical rhythm reflected by nature into account when it comes to our health, our lifestyle choices. Because we have this belief that, oh, my vitamin D level should be this, my stool bacteria should be this, and these things should fluctuate. There should be a cycle to these factors of your health. So I think that's really important, because we can get caught up in numbers and linear lab tests, and it's like, just hold up. We need to mimic nature. And we've gotten so far removed from nature that, you know, some kids today and some people, they don't even know what a tomato plant looks like, right? It's like, we're far removed from nature, and we have to understand that nature is cyclical, and so are we, because we're designed to live and be in nature as well. Okay. Oh, this was a good question I got maybe a week or two ago, and it was, can I do the Sunlight RX without tanning my skin? The answer is no. And I know that in some cultures, especially with higher FitzPat, we all want what we don't have, you know? So I, meaning, you know, lower Fitzpatrick want to be darker, want to tan, higher Fitzpatrick want lighter skin. You know, we all want what we don't have, right? And so we have to come at this tanning aspect that sunlight provides us with from a health perspective, as well as an aesthetic perspective, because, you know, I know that's been the focus of tanning for so long, and it's the focus of tanning in the mainstream. But there is a massive health component to your skin tanning. And when you follow the Sunlight RX, the 4-step protocol, your skin, no matter what your Fitzpatrick type is, will darken. And that's a good thing. It's a sign that your skin is developing more melanin. Melanin has so many health benefits. It also acts as a protective barrier to UVB light. So we know that, when do you tan the most? When UVB light's the strongest, when the UV index is the highest, you have this ability, your skin, your body has this ability to develop a stronger tan. And there are many, many physiological reasons for this and benefits. One is that it offsets UVB damage, so you won't burn. The more tan you are, this is like built-in sunscreen. Melanin is built-in sunscreen. But also, the more melanin you have naturally, let's say you're higher on the Fitzpatrick, and the Fitzpatrick is a skin typing scale that the industry uses to say, oh, your risk of skin cancer is higher if you're lower on Fitzpatrick. If you're lower, your skin cancer risk is higher. If you're higher up on Fitzpatrick, your skin cancer risk is lower. Don't even use it for that. Just forget what they say. Don't listen to that shit. Okay. It's Totally BS. Unless you're lower on the Fitzpatrick and you go out at solar noon and you burn, well, sure. Like, hello, that's like idiotic, you know? It's like, but when you practice it in the way I outline on the Sunlight RX, despite your skin, Fitzpatrick type and skin color, you're going to tan. Okay, so the benefits of tanning, you create more melanin, which protects you from UVB damage, which means when you're protected against UVB damage, you don't burn. So then what happens when you don't burn? You actually see there's positive and negative sides to everything. So this negative side of the sun is if you use it like a modern person and you go out at noon and you sleep until 10 a.m. and, you know, you wake up and you drink your, you know, you're never out in the sun and you go out at noon, 1 o'clock and you burn, you're like, see, the sun causes skin cancer. Well, the sun will cause an immune response and a stress response when you burn and when you use sunlight in this way. This is the way modern people use sunlight. This is not the way to use sunlight in a therapeutic context. When you use sunlight in a therapeutic context, like when you practice the Sunlight RX, you develop a tan despite your skin typing. And why is this beneficial? Okay, melanin prevents sunburn. So when you don't burn, what happens? Your blood sugar stabilizes. Your energy production goes up, up, up. You build your battery, that easy water around your cells when it hits with the sunlight. It's like a superhero power. You know, people are like, oh, I feel great in the summer. That's why. That's a huge reason why. Your redox goes through the roof when you have vitamin D and when you have this strong UVB light. You can deplete glucose, so your blood sugar is regulated more when you have this layer of melanin, especially stimulated by sunlight. Now, even those who are higher up on the Fitzpatrick scale need even more UVB light. Your skin is designed to be in this light. And, you know, what when you naturally have more melanin in your skin, you need you more UVB light. So those who live closer to the equator, this is when the skin type tends to go up on the Fitzpatrick scale. Okay, the closer to the equator, the darker the skin. This is not a racist thing. This is nature. This is how we were designed. And there was a reason behind this, because those living near the equator, the sun is so strong that these individuals needed UVB protection. So they have a strong, they have this strong melanin development that protects them from UVB. But in order for these individuals to make vitamin D, you need more sunlight, because the darker the skin, the harder it is to make vitamin D from sunlight. Now, if we're looking at history, those who live closer to the equator needed less to make less, but they get so much vitamin D all year round, they didn't have to, you know, store it up for the winter like, you know, Europeans and those who lived further from others who live further from the equator. Again, look at history. It tells us so, so much. So all that being said, you know, that all that to say, your tanning your skin is beneficial for many, many reasons. And you cannot obtain the health benefits of the Sunlight RX without tanning your skin. So if this is an aesthetics thing, you got to get over yourself. You got to let that shit go. And you've got to say, hey, my biology was designed for this. I need this. It's going to benefit me. It fuels my health. It's actually an essential nutrient. And I got to let this crap go that, oh, I'm not going to be attractive if my skin is lighter or darker, whatever it may be. All right. Talk to your therapist about it if you need to. Okay, I want to end today by just talking about A final question. This is related. We're going to go back to the beginning of the episode with regard to home. One of my clients asked me if someone could choose a place to live, because this is important. Not everybody can choose where they want to live. Okay? It's so important. I had somebody tell me, why don't people just move? Some people literally cannot move. Okay? That's their reality. So, I want to phrase this question. I think she phrased the question quite nicely. I'm reading it how she read it. If someone could choose a place to live, what factors would you suggest that they consider, and how do you measure? It's a great question. Okay. So you're like, okay, I want to live in a healthier place. That's a good thing to consider. That's a really, okay. Now, if you're somebody who can move, okay, there's some things to consider. Even if you're somebody who can't move, these things are going to apply to you as well. There's things you can do, even if you can't move, to support your circadian biology. Okay, so for one, my recommendation, my number one recommendation is not around sunlight, actually. Okay? You know how much I love sunlight and how much I practice the Sunlight RX and Okay. But my number one recommendation is not around sunlight. Maybe I have two number ones. My number one recommendation, one of them is to live as far away from as many to live outside as far away of you from as you can from people who have Wi-Fi. Okay, because you can move to the tropics. Fucking people have Wi-Fi there, and they have. You want to move to the Gulf of along the Gulf of Mexico? You want to live there? It's teeming with 5G. I went to the Gulf of Mexico along Florida, the Gulf Coast. I felt horrible. I had vertigo every day from the 5G. I was like, this place. I literally drove into Florida and had a panic attack. I'm not even lying. We're driving. I'm like, oh my God, I can't breathe. This is like, what the F? It's like traffic. It was, and I know not all parts of Florida are like this, but I was like, oh my God, how do we get out of here? Like, but it's the tropics. Come on. We're getting sunlight. We're grounding in the ocean. Shout now. I was like, no, get me out of here. That was horrible. So I'm going to backtrack, to be honest, because that made me think of something. My number one recommendation is to visit the place first and see how you feel in your body. Don't just go there because this person told me to move here and how great it is, and they did well there, and they look awesome. Who fucking cares? How do you feel there? Right? How do you feel there? Go to the place and experience the place, even literally, even if it's for 3 days, you will know how you feel in your body there. You will get an intuitive hit on, ooh, this feels good, or oh my God. Like when I drove into Florida, I was like, can we U-turn, babe, right now? We can't. Okay, I'm gonna have to play through this for a little while. Go there first, wherever it is. Go there first before being like, I'm gonna move there. Then we get to the Wi-Fi. Okay, as number two, now there's gonna be two number twos, is Wi-Fi signal. As don't, my suggestion, if you can choose in an ideal world, would be live as far away from as many, the less Wi-Fi signals, the better. We place a lot of emphasis on, sunlight, and we need to place as much emphasis on sun, on Wi-Fi as we do on sunlight, as we do on diet, as we do on grounding. Wi-Fi is an absolute radiation toxic shit show. If you have Wi-Fi, get rid of it. And literally, if you have Wi-Fi, it costs almost the same to have Ethernet. What costs different? Your internet bill will be the same. But what will cost, you'll have to put an upfront cost for a few extra cables and modems, and it'll cost you. You could probably do it literally for $200 or less. If you can make that investment, you can change over your Wi-Fi despite what internet provider you have, and it's very, very easy. I don't know why some people are like, it's going to be a hard. No, it's not. It's so easy. I'm telling you, it's so easy. Our entire property is Ethernet, grounded Ethernet. Get rid of, get away from people who have Wi-Fi, put your Ethernet in, okay? Also, make sure your family wants to go. Your family is excited about this. If you have a family, if you have a partner, make sure they love it too. You get there and they hate it and you love it. Guess what? This is going to be either a lot of therapy or, it's, people, both parties, all parties have to be on board. They have to be on board for di same reasons, different reasons. It doesn't matter. They have to be on board. Don't force somebody to move somewhere. It's never going to work. It's not going to be a pleasant experience. That was my combined number two with the Wi-Fi signal. Number three, you want to go and visit because you want to see what's in the area. Is there a 5G thing right out, on the street you live on? Is there, does it stink? Is there some kind of toxic, like when we were in Arizona, we were living in Sedona and we were like, can we live here? There's like all this pollution from the cars. Millions of people go to visit Sedona, Arizona every year. Then there's a cement factory right there with serious pollution coming off of it. Would we have known that if we didn't go visit? No, would never have known that. You have to go look at your surroundings. You have to check it out. Is there a power plant? Is there like a huge electrical grid right across near you? If you want to be as far away from that power plant grid as you can. That thing is a nightmare for your health. It's a total disaster. And unfortunately, it's arrogant, it's power over, it's inconsiderate. It's a dick move for them to just put them wherever they want and not check in with the people around. Hey, do you mind if we put this here? Or, or like just considering that it's a bad idea for the people who live there. So just choosing something else, it's not even on the radar. Is there a lot of wind turbine things around you? Strong EMFs. I hate those things. They're like, oh, powered by wind. No, it's the EMFs are real from those things. I hate those things. Solar panels. Everybody's gung-ho about solar panels. And again, there's a positive and negative to everything. Solar panels have to be wired in a very meticulous way. Or else the EMFs coming from the way those things are wired and set up is exponentially higher than what you get from the electrical grid. So if you have a solar panel after solar panel after, because now we have all of these solar grids set up, don't live close to those if you can prevent that. These are things I would consider. We can go much deeper than this, of course, but this is scratching the surface. These are where this is where to start when choosing your home. I refuse to live in an area where I can see a cell tower. I know they're putting them in the sky now, the satellites. That'll be interesting when they start to fall out of the sky. That'll be a really interesting day when that starts to happen. I'm not sure if I'll be alive still then. Maybe. Those fuckers aren't going to stay up there. They've already fallen in places. It's my God. What a way to go. A satellite hit. I mean, honestly. But they're gonna fall out of the fucking sky. But you see, they don't consider things like this. Elon Musk doesn't care. He's like, whatever, I'm making bank. Starlink. Now you can live in the middle of nowhere and have internet. That's stupid. It's inconsiderate. It's harming the planet. It's harming people. It's harming the heartbeat of nature, the cycles of nature. The weather patterns. They know this. They're all in the same page to set up. They're all working together. Anyway, so don't get Starlink. For the love of God, if you have it, get rid of it. Do not use them. Like, I cannot, like, how do we make them go away? Stop using it. Don't sign up for their thing. No other internet carrier where you live, So don't have internet. I mean, honestly, it's like, please try not to support that. I'm not, please try not to. Okay. Then you can't Ethernet, that you can't Ethernet a satellite. That's something important to understand. You cannot Ethernet a satellite. A signal comes in, it's coming into your space. If you are hooked into any type of satellite situation, that beam is coming to your satellite, it's coming into your home. If you don't have a signal for that beam to meet, you don't have let's say you don't have a satellite in your house, but the satellite's in the sky, well, it's going to affect you less because you don't have a meeting place for that satellite to interact with. Don't get Starlink. Oh my gosh, please. Okay. What else would I say? Closing thoughts on where to live. You want to feel good about where you live. You like the community. You feel good in your body. I don't care if it's the tropics, if it's Toronto, if it's Antarctica, if it's New York, if it's Ecuador, wherever it is. I want you to feel good in your body. I want you to feel good about the community. You need to feel safe. I feel safe in this place. If I were to move to some rural place in Texas, I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to feel so safe. I personally wouldn't feel safe at like in New York City. I'm not going to go. I'm not going. Everyone has their own thing. Go, you have to feel safe there. Your family has to be on board or your partner. You can't drag them along and think this is going to be a good thing for your health because now we're out of balance, right? Live away, as far away from Wi-Fi as you can, as far away from power plants as you can, as far away from a cell tower as you can. Tell Starlink to, don't get Starlink. I would say those are Ethernet wherever you are. Those are the main things I would say. But I mean, there are other things you have to consider. Water. You have to consider your food sources. Are there farmers in the area? Is your can you have clean water? Do you have a well? Get that well tested before you step foot onto that property. When we were looking for a property, we got onto we were so close to buying this one property, and we were like, they're like, oh, the well needs to be replaced. We're like, why? Like, oh, it's poison. We're like, okay. There's a lot of heavy metals in it, right? And we're like, okay, that's our signal. That's a hard no. Okay? Like, there's a lot of factors to consider beside how, your circadian biology. But all these things affect your circadian biology. That's the thing. Your relationships, your EMF environment, your Wi-Fi, you know, all of that. It all affects you. But, you know, I personally chose a place that has more sunlight. You know, where we live has about 300 days of sunlight a year, and that's important to me. Some people, you know, I'm not saying you have to go somewhere that has a lot of sunlight, because you can optimize your sunlight exposure throughout the spring, summer, fall to help you through the winter months. If you really love a place and they have 200 days of sunlight, you know, you learn to work with that within your body. If you're able to take a trip, sure, to a sunny place in the winter, but these situations are workable. What's not as workable is the power plant. What's not as workable is all the Wi-Fi. What's not as workable is if your well is poisoned. What's not workable? What if it's city water and you're like, then you have to like, okay, can I put in a good water system? These are all very important things to consider before you move somewhere. So I hope that was helpful, and I will see you next week, and I believe I will be having a chat about beef, and how to eat healthy beef, honestly. And what you need to know, what the industry isn't telling you, because I know everyone's like, oh, factory farms are, yeah, of course, they're bad, they're horrible. They are. And there's a lot of things that they do that they don't tell us that they do. And I want to tell you what they do. And I want to teach you how to eat better beef, because you don't want to eat that crap. It's not good for you, your kids, the planet, etc. So I'll be diving into that next week. I'll see you then. Thanks so much for tuning into today's episode. To learn more about my approach to health, to see all of my creations in the kitchen and all of my Sunlight RX tips, you can follow me on the gram at sunlight_RX and subscribe to this podcast to access weekly episodes.